Ocean FM.
Dí bhí gúin iúse agus fáilte isteach go dí Arts Northwest Lomhain Brendan Murray ag Craola ó Ionad na Atlanta glúnín. You're very welcome to Arts Northwest. We're delighted to be back on the air in 2021. Very happy new year to you all. My name is Brendan Murray. We broadcast from the Glen's Arts Centre in Manor Hamilton, our weekly half-hour art slot on Ocean FM. This week we will be hearing the first in a series of stories and tunes put together as part of a call out we did last year, asking people to send in stories, and the great Sligo-based world-renowned fiddler Steve Wickham of the Waterboys fame put a tune to it. That'll be coming up with Katrina Kelly, horticulturist based in this area. We'll also be chatting to Maeve McGowan from the Hawkswell. But first up, The Wheel is Ireland's National Association for Community and Voluntary Organisations, encompassing charities and social enterprises. It was set up, I think, just over 20 years ago. It's a nationwide and a wonderful organisation that, I suppose, its vision is to see the community and voluntary sector thrive and be at the heart of affairs in Ireland, leading towards a more just society, given the work that our community, and as we are seeing over the last year, particularly our community and voluntary organisations, are doing on the ground. And it has, I think at this stage, thousands of members, including, for example, ourselves here in the Glen Centre in Manor Hamilton. And they offer various different, like they advocate for the sector's interests on a political level. They have training programs, development programs that they offer on regional basis, which is great. So it's not solely Dublin centred. Offers, you know, information and advice towards people working in the community and voluntary sector. And Susan O'Keefe is on the line with us here. You're very welcome, Susan. A very happy new year to you. And Susan has made an application to The Wheel last year under a network scheme they had, and she has been successful in garnering support from The Wheel to set up Northwest Cultural Programme, is it, or Northwest Cultural Network?
Yes, good to talk to you, Brendan, and happy new year to you as well. I would like to echo what you've been saying about The Wheel as an organisation. I mean, certainly in terms of people who may not have much experience of the voluntary sector and the various charities that work within it. But The Wheel certainly is an extremely professional organisation, and even a quick glance at their website shows that. It's always updated. They're always looking forward. They offer huge amounts of support, particularly in this last year of the pandemic. They're always innovating and looking for new ways to bring training courses and to bring information and advice to people. So certainly they're a pleasure to work with, and we're delighted to have received funding from them. The idea here is that we set up a network of cultural organisations in our case, and then together the 10 organisations that are now part of this group, the Northwest Cultural Hub or Northwest Cultural Network, would then work together and share a training budget between us that the Yeats Society, of which I'm the director, would lead out on, and that we have the funding now to organise some training that will benefit all of the 10 small organisations within our new group.
Well, congratulations.
So we're very excited about it.
Yeah, it's a fantastic idea and initiative through the Yeats Society, which of course you are director of. And who are the organisations, or a couple of examples? I know that Glen's has
yeah, and we're delighted that Glen Centre is one of our members. And so we have a range. I mean, the largest one probably that people would know best is the Hawkswell Theatre.
Sure.
And then we have like the Allingham Festival in Donegal. We have the Spanish Armada Group out in Grange. And we have the Coleman Music Centre out in the beautiful wilds of Gurcheen. But we also then have the Dock, in Carrick and Shannon,
yes,
and Ballinglen in Ballycastle, County Mayo. So the idea was to have a regional feel to it, but right. we largely went for smaller groups. Now, the Glens and Centre and the Hawkswell would be the biggest, and that'll tell you that, relatively speaking, they're small.
Yeah. And it's great to see. So you to use the term, you reached out to Una in Ballinglen. Yeah, great.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And Sarah in the dock. And really the idea, of course, the wheel, with all its experience, knows well that when people, you know, sort of come together in any kind of network, then they start to share a bit more information, and then they might think of doing a partnership, and then they might think of, you know, you've got a skill that I don't have, can we share it? So automatically, by just bringing us together, by asking for it to be a network that applied, albeit under our, if you like, organization, now these 10 these 10 groups are aligned together for the first time in this way. And we're looking forward now to organising the training over the coming, we have until May 2022
right.
to get through the training.
Great. So, and obviously you will be kind of guided by the Wheels training programme, that which has been developed, as you say, excellently over the years. But hone it towards the regional needs of the Northwest.
Yeah, I mean, the idea was that we absolutely, the Wheel has lots of experience in organising training. But what they also wanted to see was, you know, that we would have something specific. And we were arguing that our sector within the charity sector, the cultural sort of arena, gets less attention. Often, you know, we think of charities and we think of the extraordinarily good work done, particularly in health and mental health areas, supporting in education and so on. And they would be largely the members of the Wheel.
Yes.
But the cultural sector also is quite filled with charities,
yes,
and smaller groups. And yet for us to try to get some sort of business support, some business training, you know, about better governance, about looking to the future in terms of what COVID might mean for us and how we might reorganise ourselves, it's rarely addressed to our sector. So I think that's what we went in on, that
great.
We said, look, we need this help. We need the assistance and we need the funding to allow us to do it. And that's what we're going to deliver to the group.
Great.
And that's what I guess made our application perhaps stand out, was that we were slightly different.
Sure. Well done. And the obvious question then is, you're now faced with another big challenge. Like, I've been to training courses that the Wheel have run over the years. It's going to be initially going to have to be virtual.
It will. And I think, I mean, obviously we're nearly a year, goodness me, we're nearly a year into this pandemic. And I guess the people have got used to being online. They are used
sure.
themselves to doing training and to doing transacting their business largely online. I think that's where we're going to have to start. We would love to think that some of it might be in person. But we do know that particularly, again, for smaller groups where time is, you know, important, people are working part-time, some people are volunteering, you know, traveling costs money.
Yes.
That in many ways, virtual training really is a good thing for smaller groups, particularly,
yes,
of course, around where we are. If you're traveling from Donegal or Mayo, you know,
yes,
it takes the whole day.
Yes, and I suppose, like everything that's been talked about now, even in the business world, you know, have been a hybrid, because obviously the communal element of people coming together is very, very strong. You know, that's very important. But
yes,
I think you're right. I think we're getting used to it. And I think there are actually some side benefits from all of this. The very best of luck with this, Susan, and all the best in the coming year in the Yates Society. And I'm sure we'll talk again about your activities that are coming up. Have you any plans or ideas, given the way we are, or are you just kind of holding off till we see how things pan out?
Well, I mean, thanks again, Brendan, and particularly thanks to the Wheel for putting their faith in us and for affording us this funding to do this. And I'm looking forward
Indeed.
To working with all the groups. I mean, certainly we hope that we'll be open in again in the summer. We were open last summer, and although they'd made the season very short, it was lovely to have Irish visitors. It was lovely to tell the story of Yates to an Irish, much more an Irish audience.
Sure.
We will have our international summer school. It will be online, although
Right.
we are organising an in-person part of it for the beginning of August. We're hoping that we might be able to have the in-person part, but the main bulk of the lectures and seminars will be online this year, obviously for the first time. It's
Sure.
the 62nd Yeats International Summer
Wow.
School, so we want to keep going, and we will have a number of workshops. We will have a number of other events, and we are also, in a very exciting thing, we're launching an app, a new app for a Yeats Across Sligo trail.
Oh, wow. Brilliant.
So there'll be various trails, and it'll be the first time that there's been Yeats trails on an app. So again, we're thinking of people coming to Sligo, looking to get around Sligo and to find Yeats right through the county. And of course, it's an excuse to organise. Sometimes people like a little bit of advice as to where they might go on a tour,
Of
and
course,
this will
yeah.
help them with that. So that's a big task that we're halfway through at the moment, and we'll be launching that later in the year.
Well, it's great to hear of your continued innovating in the Yeats Society. Susan O'Keefe, Director of the Yeats Society and Northwest Cultural Hub, or the Northwest Cultural Network, which is a network of cultural organisations in Donegal, Leitrim, Sligo, and even into Mayo. It's fantastic, Susan, and I wish you every success with it.
Thanks so much, Brendan.
Catriona Kelly is originally from inner city Dublin. She is Leitrim based and she's a horticultural therapist, community worker, and teacher. Here is her story, Requiem for a Clown, with music by Steve Wickham.
Requiem for a Clown. My father had three wakes, two of them while he was still alive. 4 years before he died, he sketched Requiem for a Clown using pastels on sandpaper. The clown lies with hands clasped amidst ruffles and diamond shapes and pinks the trail upwards in wisps towards the panel above, where six circus mourners are seated. A man in blue robes plays the cello. A young girl leans into his bow, the palm of her hand face down, to steady herself. A woman in flowing red is perched on the knee of her lover, their faces turned away. In the far corner, the profile figure is sunken. Three black buttons spill down his tunic. Beside him, at a remove, a figure in light blue, legs crossed, the dusty pink point of a hat pierces the shadows. I hear John say, "If I could explain it in words, I'd have been a writer." Wake one. John is in a room of his own in the Sacred Heart Ward, propped up on a mountain of pillows, his hair white wisps. It's 11 p.m. and I'm sitting on the floor beside his bed, back against the wall, legs outstretched. "How many people get to go to their own wake?" John says more than once. "I mean, while still alive." My job is to list the names of all those he wants to attend. There are hundreds, and I flip page after page. He tells me where to find his brown leather address book on the wooden dresser in his bedroom in Vincent Street. The next day from early morning, I spend phoning. I explain to his brothers and sister, old friends, former students, colleagues, drinking buddies from Doyle's and the Hut, and fellow artists, that John has been given 5 days to live by his consultant, and that he wants to have a wake to say goodbye. I listen and comfort and cross names off my list. In waves, they stepped on the black and ochre tiles up to the yellow door, hands reaching out to grasp the Georgian knocker, holding the weight of it all in a clenched fist. One or two simply extended an index finger to pinpoint the white enamel bell encased in black, the long shrill reaching the kitchen table where John sat, an unlikely host at his own wake. Dobutamine keeps his heart from failing completely. The infusion pump's metal stand like a sentry at his right-hand side. Soft pale skin on the underside of his arms awash with the fading hues of lilacs and mottled greens, and yet he moves them wildly, a conductor. Involuntary leg jerks and head twitches begin, and with them the stories, his voice rising above the din of grief. John speaks. The corners of the white coats have been flapping all morning, They, the consultants, seemed to move en masse like a rolling white wave, kept straightening and smoothing their ties, a kind of a nervous tick. One of them, a young guy, looked like a child. He'd leave his tie alone but kept looking down at his feet. He had these brand new black leather shoes on, a redhead. I'd spot him through the little glass window pacing up and down and up and down outside the door. Twice he looked like he was going to come in, but then changed his mind. When he did come through the door, the first thing I noticed was the big pink blob on the toe of his left shoe. "Mr. Kelly," he said to me. And then, from the back of his throat, and again, "Mr. Kelly, I'm afraid I have some bad news." He stops, shuffles, looks down and makes a face. I get a waft then of antiseptic, a sort of an overtone to the usual hospital smell, full of heat and colour. "Germaline," I said, nodding towards his foot. "No, actually it's euthymol, the toothpaste." It made more sense. I could picture him brushing his teeth just before delivering the news, catching his own eye in the mirror. "Mr. Kelly," he continued, "I'm very sorry to have to tell you, but you are dying. The thing is, we estimate that you have approximately 5 days left to live." At this point in the story, John looks over in my direction. I'm standing at the fridge, the door open, staring into it, not knowing what I wanted or why I was there. "Do you know what, love? I'm dying for a custard slice," he says, and the glint shines through the grey flecks of his eyes. Wake 2. Back in his hospital bed the morning after, and John is tired, his breath shallow. "That went so well, I think we should have another one. Tomorrow," he says. And so we do. Friends and family standing, seated, perched on arms of chairs and stools, squatting before the fireplace, hand-painted in burnt umber. A sitting room, waiting room, gallery, Icarus watching the ebb and flow of you from his frame, a shadow of himself. The kitchen holds them in small groups, and they leave red-eyed from tears and laughter, and the next band trip down the hall and the small step into the mossy light of the kitchen. Tall Jerry is there with his beard trimmed and his shoulders held high and tight with the grief. I open the door to him and his face is grey with sorrow. He has a box of champagne glasses in his hands and he asks where we can go to buy a good bottle. We go to the off-license down the road and I feel like I'm holding him up as we walk. The morning after the second wake, John calls the six of us into his hospital room, one at a time. He asked each of us in turn if we'd carry his coffin. He'd had a vision, he said, his six daughters, elegant and black, carrying him up the aisle of Dominic Street Church, positioned and painted in his mind's eye. I was to stand back left. "Your height means you might shoulder more than the others, but if you keep your weight low and bend your legs slightly, then the weight would be more evenly distributed. Sure, I'll be light as a feather by then. And it'd probably be better if you don't wear high heels." He gave our mother Mairead 600 euros, 100 euros each, to make sure we had decent black clothes to wear on the day. Wake 3. I made the trip up the springy red steps to the altar in my newly polished black shoes. A year and a half later. I looked out over the lectern and a hush came over Dominic Street Church. Last night, many of you were at the wake, the third wake, the first two John attended himself a year and a half ago, like the character from his play, The Third Day. I was the first of us to see him after the doctor had told him about only having 5 days to live. As soon as I went into his room, he'd reached his hand out to mine, his grip fierce. "So, love, have you heard?" "I have, just now, a while ago." "Well, It could be worse. Yeah? Yeah. I mean, imagine they'd come in here and said, Mr. Kelly, we've something to tell you. Brace yourself. You're going to live forever. Now that would be fucking bad news. Six daughters carry the coffin of John Kelly, painter, printmaker, a still life in black.
Delighted to welcome back Maeve McGowan from the Hawkswell Theatre for our first engagement of the year coming. I've no doubt we've many. You're very welcome, Maeve. A very happy new year. Thanks for coming on again.
Thanks very much. Lovely to be on, Brendan.
You do have a very impressive lineup coming up over the next couple of months, to spite this virus. Maybe you'd like to fill us in. First of all, you have some great online workshops.
Sure, yeah. Well, as you say, it's hard to find things to do when we're all in lockdown. But we ran a series of workshops last year online and they worked really well. So we thought we'd launch them again in January. It's a good time for people to try something new. And we've launched six that we know work well online because we've run them before. So Bowron workshops for adults start on Monday with John Joe Kelly, and there's a chance for people who've never learned the Bowron before to play, and also for experienced players to continue learning with John Joe online via Zoom. And a relatively new course is our comedy writing, which is also happening next Monday. And it's with local stand-up comedian John Cleary, who people will know off the telly.
Indeed.
And John is a fantastic guy and he's great fun. And he ran his first online comedy writing course with us before Christmas. And the people on the course just really enjoyed it and had a great time. It's just sold out, but it's starting again next Monday.
That shows you you're doing something right. Well done.
Yeah, well, I think we all need a laugh at the moment, don't we?
For sure.
And then we have another writing course starting next Tuesday with local writer Brian Layden. And these are also very popular. And Brian, of course, is a very well-known writer. And this course would be more, I suppose, for those who are into writing prose and poetry. So there's still space available on Brian's course. And
so that runs on Tuesdays. And all these courses run up into the first week in March, isn't that correct?
Yeah, there's six weeks great. Of online courses once a week in the evening. Yeah.
Brilliant.
And so we've Oisín McDiarmid as well with traditional music classes.
Yes.
And guitar with Shane McGowan, and also singing with Kathy Jordan, traditional singing. So,
brilliant.
So lots to choose from.
I see also that Kathy is one of your three artists on your residency programme, herself, John Carty, and Niamh McGrath.
Yeah, so that's fantastic because we wanted to announce our residencies early this year because I suppose while we're closed, it's nice to be able to work with artists remotely. And these artists are all able to work at the moment from home on the projects that they're doing. And we're in touch with them. And hopefully then as we are able to open up, they'll be able to share the work that they're doing. So we're delighted to work with
brilliant.
Kathy's working on a lovely project about songs from Sligo. Niamh McGrath is writing a one-woman show about one woman living in a bubble on her own during lockdown.
Right.
And then John Carty is working on a collaboration
and of course
for
John,
a new album.
John launched his new CD in 2020. Brilliant.
That's right.
That all sounds great, Maeve. And I know your Cultural Companions was a great success.
It was actually. It was a lovely programme that we ran last year that we're hoping to continue this year. And that's where we matched an artist with an older person cocooning alone. And we had four of those pairings last year. And then we made a lovely little documentary about it in December, which we were able to put up as part of the first Fortnight Festival this year. So we are looking for more cultural companions this year. If anyone
great.
Knows of any older people on their own who would be interested in getting involved, you can send us an email, maeve@hawkswell.com, and we'd love to talk to them.
Maeve, that's maeve@hawkswell.com. Thanks very much to Maeve McGowan of the Hawkswell Theatre in Sligo. Wemsha Brendan Murray and our sound engineer Mark Gavin were Gaid Sloan. Many thanks to our funders, Pubble, the Arts Council and Leitrim County Council. Good day, and Cade Shachtanella. You'll get us on podcast through Ocean FM on all the platforms. And there's a repeat of this programme on Sundays at 8 p.m.